Thank you very much for the pursuit. Shri Prabhupada Lilamrita, planting the seed, stay high forever. Dan Clark was 25, thin, intense, horn-rimmed, bespectacled. What's that?
And they wore glasses.
An avant-garde filmmaker. And his first film was entitled Rebirth. He was a conscientious objector to the Vietnam War and was working at a home for children as alternative governmental service. He had been a member of the SDS and the War Resisters League. He had been arrested during a protest demonstration, and he had been suspended 1 week from his job for wearing a peace button and a black armband. He was into Buddhism, but he had lately been adding a little psychedelic seasoning. "Everything is nothing, and nothing is everything," was his slogan, and he would go around chanting it like a mantra. But he was feeling that, at least psychologically, he needed a devotional tonic. His voidistic meditation was getting stale. Then had come to the park today, looking for the Swami and the chanting he had read about in the East Village Order. He had seen the Swami before, one evening a few months back. He had been waiting for a bus across the street from the Swami's storefront. He was on the way to a rehearsal for a mixed media show, and his friend had gone into Sam's luncheonette for a moment, when he noticed that in the storefront, an orange-robed Indian man with a shaved head was lecturing to a small group of young people. Then, when I saw him, I imagined myself walking across the street, going into the storefront, sitting down, and renouncing all worldly connections. But I thought to myself, it's only my imagination. After all, I'm married, and I'm on my way to rehearsal, and I don't know anything about the Swami anyway. So my friend and I got on the bus. But then lived only a few blocks away from the storefront, and now and then he would pass by. Once he had stood for several minutes on the sidewalk, looking at the cover of the Srimad Bhagavatam taped onto the window. Then it showed an oval lotus with planets around it. And right then I was introduced to the idea of spiritual sensuality. And when I saw the painting of Lord Chaitanya and his associates in the window, that really threw me. I thought, yes, this is what I need, juice. Dan and his wife walked the paved pathway through the park. He was looking around for the Swami, but he didn't really know what to look for. He expected to see robes and hear Buddhist-style chanting, but he couldn't find anything. He had given up his search and was wandering around to see what musicians were there when he noticed a big crowd gathered around what he figured must have been some musicians. He was attracted by the beat of the music, a chimin, 1, 2, 3. Chimin or chimin? Muktamandi proposed chimin or chimin, 1, 2, 3. C-H-I-M-I-N-G.
Chimin.
Chimin. I don't know what's that. A chimin, 1, 2, 3.
Ringing a bell, chiming is ringing.
Oh.
The cartels, they chime or ring.
Okay, thank you. A chiming, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. A simple rhythm with a kind of flamboyance and very magnetic. He saw an occasional upraised arm above the crowd, and he thought that there must be flamenco dancing going on inside the circle. He then got wind of a drifting melody, certainly not flamenco, which accompanied the beat, and this attracted him further. He approached closer and closer, making his way through the crowd. Then he saw people chanting and others dancing and waving their arms in what he took to be a blend of American Indian and Asian dancing. It looked like something from a long forgotten era. Then decided that this must be the Hare Krishna group. But there were no robes, just the regular dress of the Lower East Side. And where was the Swami? Then he saw him sitting, inconspicuous, playing a little drum. His eyes were closed, and his brow was knit with concentration. Then, the Swami wasn't calling attention to himself. And at first, I didn't attribute any importance to an elderly Indian man sitting off to one side. He didn't seem to have any special function in the chanting. But it gradually dawned on me who he was. He was the same Swami I had read about in the paper and seen in the storefront. After a while, he spoke, but I couldn't hear him. Still, I was impressed that he was a very modest person, not interested in getting himself up on a pedestal. He didn't go strutting around, but was still with inner peace, strength, and knowledge. I just was thinking how Satsvarupa Maharaj, in this book, I think he collected many interviews from the devotees and how they joined. And he describes a little bit their life before that. He's given their age and their relationship and what they're doing in the material world and how they met with Krishna for the first time, like with Krishna's devotee for the first time, with Krishna. And this is amazing. I think this is the most important meeting in many, many lifetimes and how it happened. It looks so usual, so like normal, ordinary. Yeah, but it's the most unusual thing, how it happens. And almost, like they all say they were attracted, but no one could understand. It's like lightning. Great fortune, greatest fortune, meeting a pure devotee. So that's amazing, amazing book actually. Just to read how it happened. Okay. Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita Ki Jai. Anybody wants to say something on Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, what we just read? Yes, Mukti Lama Prabhupada.
The thing about that is that everyone has, everyone can, I mean, we all, when we talk about Krishna consciousness, we all talk about it. The first time we met, the first time we read Bhagavad Gita, everybody has a really pretty interesting story to tell. It's good to hear everybody's story, their introduction to Krishna consciousness. It's the most important thing that's happened to us in millions of years, in millions of births, when we meet the devotees and we wake up to our spiritual position. There's nothing compares to that.
Yeah, and I was just thinking how this is immediate connection to the eternity, to the eternal bliss and eternal knowledge, immediate connection.
Yeah.
Just before that, all the descriptions, like what they were doing, like I remember when I was like in my teen age and what I was doing, and 3 months, like many times young people, they're very rebellious, like against society, but they usually are not really serious, just they like to do it, you know, just the dress has nothing to do with real them. Just something like a show, play some role. And everyone is looking for that eternity, eternal knowledge, eternal bliss, yeah? And so many descriptions of how they tried to achieve that. And they just, that moment, and they got connected. That's amazing.
I remember the moment I got connected. I mean, everybody, I think we all could tell a story about that.
Yeah, sure.
And Prabhupada was sitting on the seat, noticed that Prabhupada, there was a kirtan going on, and he didn't even notice Prabhupada at first. He was sitting on the side, he didn't even make the connection at first, that he was the leader, he was the cause of everything going on. In a normal music group, they have what's called the main singer, the lead, leader, he's right out front with a microphone, dancing around and strutting around, and Prabhupada was just sitting on the side. But everything was happening just because of him.
Thank you. Okay, Srimad Bhagavat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 10. Maharaja Rahugana meets Jada Bharata. Today's text 15. There's no meter, but I try to read. Achyaku pandave sindhu sovrapatis tatvachuk yasayam samyak shatayat hi kritat hi karat tatridaya granthi mochanam vijavacham ashutya bahu yoga grantha samatam varaya varuhya Шрасападамулам, упаштитахаксамапаян, бегатан рипадевасмая увача. Word for word translation. Saha.
Saha.
Ki.
He.
Maharaj Rahugana.
Maharaj Rahugana.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Api.
Api.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Pandaveya.
Pandaveya.
O rest of the Pandu dynasty.
O rest of the Pandu dynasty.
Maharaja Parikshit.
Maharaja Parikshit.
Sindhu Sauvira Pati.
Sindhu Sauvira Pati.
The king of the states.
The king of the states.
Known as Sindhu and Sauvira.
Known as Sindhu and Sauvira.
Tattva Jigyasayam.
Tattva Jigyasayam.
In the matter of inquiring about the absolute truth.
In the matter of inquiring about the absolute truth.
Samyak Shraddhaya.
Samyak Shraddhaya.
By faith.
By faith.
Consisting of complete control of the senses and the mind.
Consisting of complete control of the senses and the mind.
Adhikrita Adhikaraha.
Adhikrita Adhikara.
Who attained the proper qualification?
Who attained the proper qualification?
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Hridaya Granthi.
Hridaya Granthi.
The knot of false conceptions within the heart.
The knot of false conceptions within the heart.
Mochanam.
Mochanam.
Which eradicates.
Which eradicates.
Dvija Vachaha.
Dvija Vachaha.
The words of the Brahmana.
The words of the Brahmana.
Of Jadabharata.
Jadabharata.
Ashrutya.
Ashrutya.
Hearing.
Hearing.
Bahu Yoga Grantha Sammatam.
Bahu Yoga Grantha Sammatam.
Approved by all yogic processes and approved. Their scriptures.
Approved by all yogic processes and their scriptures.
Tvaraya.
Tvaraya.
Very hastily.
Very hastily.
Avaruhya.
Avaruhya.
Getting down.
Getting down.
From the palanquin.
From the palanquin.
Shirasa.
Shirasa.
By his head.
By his head.
Pada mulam.
Pada mulam.
At the lotus feet.
At the lotus feet.
Upashrita.
Upashrita.
Falling down.
Falling down.
Oh, sorry. Falling down flat.
Falling down flat.
To offer obeisances.
To offer obeisances.
Kshama payan.
Kshama payan.
Obtaining pardon for his offense.
Obtaining pardon for his offense.
Vigatanripa devasmaya.
Vigatanripa devasmaya.
Giving up the false pride of being the king.
Giving up the false pride of being the king.
And therefore being worshipable.
And therefore being worshipable.
Uvacha.
Uvacha.
Said.
Said.
Translation. Shukadeva Goswami continued. O best of the five Pandu dynasty, Maharaja Parikshit. The king of the Sindhu and Sauvira states, Maharaja Rahugana, had great faith in discussions of the absolute truth. Being thus qualified, he heard from Jadabharata that philosophical presentation, which is approved by all scriptures on the mystic yoga process, and which slackens the mind in the heart. His material conception of himself as a king was thus destroyed. He immediately descended from his palanquin and fell flat on the ground with his head at the lotus feet of Jadabharata in such a way that he might be excused for his insulting words against the great Brahmana. He then prayed as follows. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 4.2, Lord Krishna says, Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu sa kaleniha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. Through the disciplic succession, the royal order was on the same platform as great saintly persons, Raja Rishis. Formerly, they could understand the philosophy of life, and knew how to train the citizens to come to the same standard. In other words, they knew how to deliver the citizens from the entanglement of birth and death. When Maharaja Dasharatha ruled Ayodhya, the great sage Vishwamitra once came to him to take away Lord Ramachandra and Lakshmana to the forest to kill a demon. When the saintly person Vishwamitra came to the court of Maharaja Dasharatha, the king, in order to receive the saintly person, asked him, Ahishtam yatta punarjanma jayaya. He asked the sage whether everything was going on well in his endeavor to conquer the repetition of birth and death. The whole process of Vedic civilization is based on this point. We must know how to conquer the repetition of birth and death. Maharaja Rahugana also knew the purpose of life. Therefore, when Chada Bharata put the philosophy of life before him, he immediately appreciated it. This is the foundation of Vedic society. Learned scholars, brahmanas, saintly persons and sages who were fully aware of the Vedic purpose advised the royal order how to benefit the general masses. And by their cooperation, the general masses were benefited. Therefore, everything was successful. Maharaja Rahugana attained this perfection of understanding the value of human life. Therefore, he regretted his insulting words to Jadabharata, and he immediately descended from the palanquin and fell down at the lotus feet of Jadabharata in order to be excused and to hear from him further about the values of life known as Brahma Jigyasa, inquiry into the absolute truth. At the present moment, high government officials are ignorant of the values of life. And when saintly persons endeavor to broadcast the Vedic knowledge, the so-called executives do not offer their respectful obeisances, but try to obstruct the spiritual propaganda. Thus, one can say that the former kingly government was like heaven, and that the present government is like hell. Om Agyana Timiraya Dasya Kinanjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Vinata Smashri Gurudev Namaha Mukam Karachava Chivam Pangam Langayata Girim Yad Kripata Maham Landa Shri Gurum Dhinitarana Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Patalya Shishman Bhakti Vedanta Svam Dhin Mine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Guravani Pracharane Nirvisha Shashini Vadya Pashti Dhyada Shatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vas Adi Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The verse again. Shukadeva Goswami continued, O best of the Pandu dynasty, Maharaja Parikshit. The king of the Sindhu and Sauvira states, Maharaja Rahugana, had great faith in discussions of the absolute truth. Being thus qualified, he heard from Jadabharata that philosophical presentation, which is approved by all scriptures on the mystic yoga process, and which slackens the knot in... His material conceptions of himself as a king was thus destroyed. He immediately descended from his palanquin and fell flat on the ground with his head at the lotus feet of Jadabharata in such a way that he might be excused for his insulting words against a great brahmana. He then prayed as follows. So here we see that in the verse it is said that Maharaja Rahugana had great faith in discussions of the absolute truth, and thus he was qualified to hear what Jadabharata told him. And Śrīla Prabhupāda in the purport, he explains that in Vedic times, all kshatriyas who are supposed to rule over the country and to protect the citizens, they were aware of the science of the absolute truth. And thus, they were qualified to protect the citizens. And Śrīla Prabhupāda is saying that learned scholars, brahmanas, saintly persons, and sages who were fully aware of the Vedic purpose, advised the royal order how to benefit the general masses, and by their cooperation, the general masses were benefited. So it was by their cooperation. So brahmanas, saintly persons, they would advise, and because they had faith in the message of the absolute truth, they were qualified to hear and to follow their advice. Srila Prabhupada is also saying that in modern days, present government is like hell. Although externally we can see that it looks like in the society are the same orders as it is described in the Vedic society. And we can see that there are some who look like kshatriyas, yes, they are managers, and actually their task is to protect the citizens and protect the people. They are also those who look like brahmanas, yes, they study the modern scriptures, not scriptures of God, but the modern, what is considered to be scriptures, like philosophical treatises and so on. So it all looks like in the Vedas, but actually it's not Vedic. Srila Prabhupada is explaining that present government is like hell. Why? Even they try also to listen those who look like brahmanas, because those who look like brahmanas, they're also not brahmanas, because they don't study the science of God. They study philosophical treatises, and also, as we know, Srila Prabhupada is saying that in the material world, everything is turning around sex life. This is the material world. And sex life is not just like gross sex life, but it's just material lust. Yes, so money, fame, name, all these things. So that's why the modern civilization is like hell. Because there is no way to advance in spiritual life. There is no way to progress. Because everywhere you turn your head, you see that. Everywhere on the internet. So it's very difficult actually to see. But because it is also predicted that in this Kali Yuga will be golden age, which already started with the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there are so many sincere devotees of the Lord who preach the glory of the Lord. Still, it's difficult to see that. And that's why also we see that devotees are preaching. Devotees are preaching. This is the highest compassion, to preach the message of Godhead. Because I know personally about myself and about many people, like devotees, who became devotees in Moscow. If devotees would not preach, I would never get Bhagavad Gita of Srila Prabhupada in my home. Even my parents, they don't remember how they bought it. And so there's so many other people. So in this way, just by that highest compassion, devotees preaching, following the order of their spiritual master, we get in touch, we get connected. As we just read in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, how it happens. This is the glorious moment of our million lifetimes when we meet Krishna. Okay, come back to the verse. I just read the verse again. Shukadeva Goswami continued, O best of the Pandu dynasty, the king of the Sindhu and Sauvira states had great faith in discussion of the absolute truth. Being thus qualified, he heard from Jadubharata that philosophical presentation, which is approved by all scriptures on the mystic yoga process, and which slackens the knot in the heart. I just discussed before the class with Amarnath Prabhu, because this verse, and we discussed how a great devotee, Lama Matra Sadhu Sangha, so 1/11th of a second of association with a great personality can awaken the heart, can awaken the faith in the heart in devotional service. So by the mercy of a great devotee, one can become qualified and to hear the message of Godhead. Because sometimes otherwise we may see the great devotee, but we may not appreciate it and not appreciate the message. Even we remember that example, how, just very famous example, how little Dhruva Maharaj, he was just 5 years old, and when Lord himself appeared in front of him, in his case it was Lord himself, and he was a little boy, he wanted to offer his prayers, but he had no voice, and the Lord touched his head with his conscience, and immediately he started to offer very eloquent prayers to him. That suppose shows that Lord wanted to hear his prayers. At the same time, it's like the mercy of the Lord. So it's both two-sided, works this way. And also we discussed that Maharaja Rahugana had genuine desire in his heart. You see, he was a ruler, he was a king, and he was a sincere king. He knew about the absolute truth. He wanted to protect his citizens in a real way. And what is real protection? Srila Prabhupada is explaining to how to conquer the repetition of birth and death. And because also of his sincerity, he also was qualified. And he immediately heard the message from Jadabharata, and which likens the knot in the heart. His material conception of himself as a king was thus destroyed. He immediately descended from his palanquin and fell flat on the ground with his head at the lotus feet of Jadabharata in such a way that he might be excused for his insulting words against the great Brahmana. We can also see that not just he only understood that, but he very humbly descended from the palanquin. This is very important, that humble mood, because by the mercy of the Lord or of a great devotee, we can understand, we can get some enlightenment. Yet, if I still hold for my pride, the process will not work very well. My eyes may again get closed from there. He then prayed as follows. Okay, let's read the purport. In Bhagavad Gita 4:2, Lord Krishna says, Evam parampara prapta imam rajarsha viduhu sa kalenika mahata yoga nashta parantaka. The supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. So it is said, it was how saintly kings understood it in that way. And when Srila Prabhupada is explaining, through the disciplic succession, the royal order was on the same platform as great saintly persons, Raja Rishas. What does it mean actually? Through the disciplic succession, the royal order was on the same platform as great saintly persons, Raja Rishas.
Former age. A former age, which is not, I don't think it was Kali Yuga.
Yeah, yeah. So what does it mean that they were on the same platform?
Raja Rishas, the kings who were also saintly.
On the same platform as
him. Yeah, and we don't think it's possible now, but it was possible then.
So they were same exalted devotees.
Yeah.
As Rishi. So they were Raja Rishas. Raja is a king and Rishi is a sage.
Yeah.
Thank you, I just didn't understand that. But in course of time, it's again continuation of Bhagavad Gita, verse 4:2. But in course of time, the succession, disciplic succession, was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. So this is how it happens. It's all predicted in the books when we study them properly. Like there is a description of Kali Yuga, and we can wonder, oh, why it happens, why it's like deteriorating. It's described why and what will happen in the material world. At the same time, there is always way out. Lord always sends his devotees, he descends himself from millennium into millennium, because this is the purpose of material world for us who came here to enjoy, try to be God. But when we want to come out, Krishna is always here to help us. There is always the way out. Okay, so through the disciplic succession, the royal order was on the same platform as great saintly persons, Raja Rishas. Formerly, Shishirata Kupivala Bhakir Jaya. Formerly, they could understand the philosophy of life and knew how to train the citizens to come to the same standard. Sorry. And knew how to train the citizens to come to the same standard. In other words, they knew how to deliver the citizens from the entanglement of birth and death. And actually, in nowadays, and I guess even before, because sometimes saintly devotees, they also come to, sometimes they come to the government. but maybe very few of them, and they don't make big contribution into the life of the society. But we see that nowadays there are more such people, and the more message of Godhead will be propagated and will be accepted by general people, the more such devotees will be becoming members of the government. And we see one of such examples is Tulsi Hubbard. She's, I think, Hubbard, yeah. She's senator of Hawaii. And she's a devotee of Lord Krishna. I think she's an initiated devotee even of Lord Krishna. And so that makes our future bright, because the more such devotees will be in the government, the more bright will be the future of the general, ordinary citizens of the country. When Maharaja Dasharatha ruled Ayodhya, the great sage Vishwamitra once came to him to take away Lord Ramachandra and Lakshmana to the forest to kill a demon. When the saintly person Vishwamitra came to the court of Maharaja Dasharatha, the king, in order to receive the saintly person, asked him, Ahishtam yat tat punarjanma jayaya. He asked the sage whether everything was going on well in his endeavor to conquer the repetition of birth and death. Oh, thank you. He asked the sage whether everything was going on well in his endeavor to conquer the repetition of birth and death. Actually, we can see that even if such question can be formal, but of course in this case it was not formal, but even if we have it formal, like you say here, if some sage will come to representative of a government will ask such a question, it may be formal, but it may create some thought, you know, in the mind. Because even we can see in the dollar it is written, in God we trust. So no one actually, really, almost no one, really thinks about what is written there. But sometimes, you know, maybe like you have nothing to do, you look at the dollar or $100. In God we trust. What does it really mean? Yeah. So that's so nice, actually. Such things, even if they are formal. What to speak if they are not formal? The whole process of Vedic civilization is based on this point, how to conquer the repetition of birth and death. The whole process of Vedic civilization is based on this point. So we may understand so what we can contribute. Because we are still in the material world, still in the material body. And so we can contribute to help those who are around us to understand, to conquer the repetition of birth and death. First we should become strong in spiritual life, and we just do. That's the purpose of being here. We must know how to conquer the repetition of birth and death. Maharaja Rahugana also knew the purpose of life. Therefore, when Jadabharata put the philosophy of life before him, he immediately appreciated it. It's again the philosophy of life. Yeah. If you ask people, what is the philosophy of life? We will get very many answers. But very few will be right answers. Yes, so that's why it's so important what Srila Prabhupada is doing and what we are so fortunate now got chance to do as his followers, to become his real followers and to do the same thing. This is the foundation of Vedic society. Learned scholars, brahmanas, saintly persons and sages who were fully aware of the Vedic purpose advised the royal order how to benefit the general masses, and by their cooperation, the general masses were benefited. Therefore, everything was successful. Actually, everything was successful. It includes also material life, because when we read the description of previous ages, usually it was, if they would follow the Vedic rules, country was flourishing, and citizens were very happy in that country. Is it clear? Maharaja Rahugana attained this perfection of understanding the value of human life. Therefore, he regretted his insulting words to Jadabharata, and he immediately descended from his palanquin and fell down at the lotus feet of Jadabharata in order to be excused and to hear from him further about the values of life known as Brahma Jigyasa, inquiry into the Absolute Truth. So we see, so when we meet a saintly person, we should inquire from him submissively to know the truth. Yes? So he not just wanted to be excused, like, and wanted to apologize, but also he wanted to hear from him further about the values of life known as Brahma Jigyasa. This is the nectar for which devotees are always anxious. At the present moment, high governmental officials are ignorant of the values of life, and when saintly persons endeavor to broadcast the Vedic knowledge, the so-called executives do not offer their respectful obeisances but try to obstruct the spiritual propaganda. Yes? So we understand, when we understand that it's because of their ignorance, we will understand that even if we fight against them, we actually don't fight against them as personalities because they're souls, but again, the ignorance. Ignorance should be destroyed. Sometimes, of course, they can be destroyed too. But thus, one can say that the former kingly government was like heaven, and that the present government is like hell. Okay, I read the verse again. Shukadeva Goswami continued, O best of the Pandu dynasty, Maharaja Parikshit, the king of the Sindhu and Soviet states, Maharaja Rahugala, had great faith in discussions of the absolute truth. Being thus qualified, he heard from Jadabharata that philosophical presentation, which is approved by all scriptures on the mystic yoga process, and which slackens not in the heart. His material conception of himself as a king was thus destroyed. He immediately descended from his palanquin and fell flat on the ground with his head at the lotus feet of Jadabharata in such a way that he might be excused for his insulting words against the great Brahmana. He then prayed as follows. Okay, that's it. Any questions, comments?
One thing was, it says it destroyed, when he heard from Jadabharata, it destroyed his misconception of himself. And that's the first thing that happens when you come out of, you're coming out of material life and you first hear the Bhagavad Gita and preaching from your body, you're not the body. It's like, yeah, all your conceptions from that you had, at least in this life, so everything that you were taught is like immediately rendered wrong. Like everything I learned up until this point was wrong. And you're just starting from scratch. I mean, it doesn't matter when somebody comes to Krishna consciousness what they were. They might be a king, like Rahugana, they might be a professor or something. It doesn't matter. It might be a laborer or a ditch digger. It doesn't matter. Everybody's starting from the same place. They're starting from the place of zero. Where do I go? I don't know anything. It's like Prabhupada said, or one of our acharyas gave the advice, how do you preach to a scholar or someone who's puffed up? So you take a straw in your teeth and falling at his feet, you say, you're such a learned man, you're so intelligent. Now please forget everything you know and just try to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So that's what happened to me. Everyone, Maharaj Rahugana, his whole conception of himself was just blown away in a second, in a minute. And then one other comment was, sometimes we hear about the saintly government. Prabhupada talks time and time again about Rajarshis and saintly kings and who, you know, how they looked out for the welfare of the citizens, and they were like a father to the citizens, and citizens loved them, and they knew the purpose of life was to develop spiritually and guide the population in that way. And when sometimes I may think it sounds like, you know, it's so not the way it is in our experience today, that we're like, and could it ever have been like that? But we're doubtful. It sounds like a myth. But it's just, but why not? It can happen. It's just like if somebody grows up in a kind of, in a place where it's always winter, there's always huge snowstorms, it's always freezing cold and windy, and somebody tells them about what it's like to live in a place where it's sunny and warm and nice. You know, like even for us, we go through the winter, and in the middle of winter, it's like you can't even hardly remember what it was like when it was nice out. And then it starts, but it always comes back. So the thing is that the other yugas are so much different than Kali Yuga that we hear about it, we think, how could that be? But it can be.
Thank you. Just reminds me, in Vrindavan, it's so funny because the monkeys, of course, they live outside the monkeys. And I remember every winter, like, first cold, in the early morning, all monkeys, they're, oh! They cannot believe it can be so cold. It was so cold last year. Like, every year it would happen like that.
Really?
Yes. It's like, so as you said, like, such short memory, like, every day is like first time. Okay, anybody else? Yes, about that problem.
Interesting story regarding what you read. Muktamandir Prabhu spoke about how it's interesting about different people coming into touch with Srila Prabhupada and Krishna consciousness. There's one sannyasi Prabhupada disciple by the name of Radha Govinda Maharaj in Vrindavan. So he said a very funny story. Just a couple of minutes. I just remember that. So he used to read books in Hindi. So he came in touch with Srila Prabhupada's teachings of Lord Chaitanya, one of the earliest copies. So he read the book, he loved it so much that he came to one of these Iskcon centers and he said, I think he came to Krishna Balaram Mandir, I'm not sure. So he came and he said that I want to meet Srila Prabhupada. So there was one devotee sitting outside. I want to meet Srila Prabhupada. The devotee said, why do you want to meet Srila Prabhupada? So he said, because he's my spiritual master. So he said, are you initiated by him? He said, no, but I have read his book and I understand he's my guru. So this devotee asked him, what book have you read? So he said, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And I totally accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be God. So this devotee said, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not God. He's just a saint. So Radha Govinda Maharaj said, no, he's God. He's God and he's in a combination of Radharani and Shri Krishna. So this devotee said, no, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just some saint. So Radha Govinda Maharaj then he said, no, he's God. And this devotee said, no, they claim he's God, but I think he's just a devotee. And Radha Govinda Maharaj was really angry and he was quoting Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, and after a point he said, you keep quiet, you don't know. Srila Prabhupada says in this book, so you keep quiet, you don't know. And the steward starts laughing loudly. He said, why are you laughing? He said, I am Srila Prabhupada. And then Radha Govinda Maharaj just falls at his feet. He said, I'm really sorry, I have never seen you. And Prabhupada starts clapping his hands. He said, this is the extent. You should fight any personality to prove that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God.
That's amazing. First meeting.
Really happy. And this is his first meeting with Prabhupada. And he was embarrassed every time he saw him. And he says, I'm really, even on the day of initiation, Prabhupada is giving him beads. And he goes to Prabhupada and says, I'm really sorry. I offended you. I didn't know who you are. And Prabhupada said, no, I'm really happy. I tried testing how well you read the book. And I'm really happy that you're able to fight the world saying that. So it's very, so I mean, I just got reminded of that, how we come into Krishna consciousness and how funny stories could start. So,
Thank you. For me, it's just about determination.
What's that?
For me, the story is about determination because, like, sometimes, like, say, if I come and I'm not a devotee, like, I read the book and a devotee is saying me, like, a devotee looking like a devotee, you know, like, this is not so. I will start thinking maybe I read the book, like, in the wrong way, maybe I misunderstood, but it's like really.
It's like he even says in the book that you might be wrong, but Prabhupada cannot be wrong. He said, in this book, I find Prabhupada quoting, so you can be wrong, but Prabhupada cannot be wrong. And Prabhupada was laughing. He said, this is the extend. You should just fight the world to prove that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God. So anyway, so that's good. That was his first meeting with Prabhupada.
Thank you. Jai. Any further? Okay, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.